I'm so glad because today, you know, that Chris is going to be joining us today, that we're going to be able to talk about something we've been mentioning for a little while now. And the it is it's his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I was on a particular place where he grew up, and I was talking to his innocent mother.
Bless her.
Yeah, heart. And she's sweet. Yeah, she really is.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Awesome. I understand her pain. The Sons of Thunder. And then, so, you know, she's showing me these pictures and all this different stuff, and then there was a move taking place at some point, and there was a Bible found,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the early years, which is totally amazing that, you know, there was a Bible anywhere around there.
In the vicinity.
That's right. And it was Chris's. Well, I don't know. He could have stole the Bible. I don't know if it was really his or not, you know.
Have an actual word on that, do
yeah.
it.
And this is important to share because a lot of people think that dude, if it was the Quran, it'd be over. But you know, that you've done things that you feel bad about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then I think about what Chris did, and I'm thinking, you know,
I wasn't so bad after
if you,
all.
If you put that on a grade that on a curve, you know. And I was looking at this Bible, and I noticed in this Bible, you know, that it was missing pages in it. Those pages weren't ripped out. Mm-hmm. They were cut out systematically,
like someone intentionally meant to do it.
Intentionally. I'm serious. Oh, wow. I'm like, you know, me, you know, I was like, you know, I don't put anything on. If I'm putting something on top of my Bible, I'm conscious of what I'm doing. I'm very careful
right.
about what I even do, about just, I want to honor God's word. And,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he didn't know God. So if he would have known God, I'm sure he wouldn't have smoked God. I said, let me get what happened. Right. And so from what I understand, you know, that you were challenged in the area of needing to.
I needed some rolling papers.
This is horrific. Is this horrific?
Oh, my goodness.
This is terrible.
It's
this
awful.
Oh, my goodness. You know. Did you
and
hear that?
You have needs.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling. We're telling you to encourage you this morning. So he didn't know Jesus.
Not at all.
Matter of fact, he didn't even know his neighbors at that point, right?
That's right.
It's right. Oh my goodness, they're looking at me when I'm going out in this gurney thing.
That's right.
That's right.
All
right. So he was running out of rolling papers. And for those that don't roll rolling papers, you know, it used to be a day that people would smoke cigarettes and they would roll their cigarettes. They would actually roll it.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandfather would roll it. He would just roll his cigarette, you know, mm-hmm. from a flat piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen him use a Bible to do it. And he quit later in life. And so I saw this Bible, so I asked, you know, we're asking Chris, you know, what is this? And he's like, he used this Bible. I mean, he didn't know Jesus. You got to understand, he didn't know Jesus. I mean, I would be concerned if, you know, he said he knew Jesus, but he didn't right. even know him. Until you know Jesus, the Bible is like Greek. Well, it is Greek, but the Bible is like Hebrew. Well, it is Hebrew. Well, the Bible is like, doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah, it's like a paperweight.
It's like a paperweight.
If you don't know him.
Oh, if you don't know him, yeah.
If you don't know him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a decoration under your coffee
BC,
table.
Right?
This is all BC Christ? Right now. Because the one that's called his paperweight, he wore his first Bible out. He did. He put tabs in it. It just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever, did you ever rebound that Bible?
I tried, but they closed down.
Oh, they did?
Oh. Yeah.
There's got to be some binding organization.
I got to find somebody.
In the world. As much bondage as there is, got to be some binding organization somewhere. But then, you got to get this because it's not made up. I got something I'll tell you about.
Oh,
matter of fact, we might even put this up on the torch today. I don't know. But, and so he needed rolling papers. You know, and I used to put people in jail for the, if they had marijuana and rolling papers,
mm-hmm.
then that would be considered drug paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't think he smoked marijuana. So yeah, that was the, but so you used your Bible,
right?
You used your Bible and he cut the pages out of the Bible to roll up the marijuana.
Right. It wasn't tobacco.
To light it on fire.
Jeez, Pat.
To smoke. So he smoked Leviticus.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, no. But he used it as a rolling paper. And so, you know, I thought, oh, my goodness, you know. But then I looked and I noticed that he used the index pages in the back of the Bible.
The blank
the note pages that very
the
few,
pages
that very few Christians I noticed even think, you know.
Right. Those note pages. They even know they exist.
According to George Bonner, very few are doing that right now. And so they call that being holy. You know, they don't write in your Bibles. Like, no, you got to actually open it to be concerned about it. Anyway, so, and so then I thought, man, well, at least, you know, he just smoked the note pages in the back, you know, because he had all these cut pages. It looked like some sort of old paper doll stuff that was cut out years ago.
Oh,
they used to cut
goodness.
Dolls out and stuff. And then I find out the only reason he didn't smoke Leviticus, he was concerned the ink would have actually poisoned him.
That's it.
Oh,
God. Oh, is that crazy?
That's nuts.
Is that crazy?
It is true.
And now, you know, God has taken this man who didn't know him.
That's right.
Who was smoking the Bible, saved his soul, healed him from a stroke. I mean, he had like half his, he was literally paralyzed on half his body.
Yeah.
God totally healed him. And now he is responsible for the media productions and all the VFN TV broadcasts that go around the world and the, all this editing and everything that's happening, the media suites and all that kind of stuff's going on. And here he is. He went from smoking his Bible to being a smoke offering. And now his flesh burns.
Daily.
And that's he's right. pleased with it. And, yeah. and he actually reads his Bible and he said he smokes it.
Oh. Yes, I do. I read it.
Now, is this not true?
This is absolutely true.
I don't want to. I'm not. This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. Yeah, there was a time in my life. Actually, at that point in time in my life, I didn't even believe in God, you know, and so I didn't even think twice about cutting pages out of this book. The pages were very thin, so
it was like rolling paper.
Yeah, it was like rolling paper. You know, most Bibles today are.
I never would have thought that. But,
me either.
Yeah,
but it was there. It was available and. And
so you can afford the marijuana, but you couldn't afford the rolling papers.
Right. Yeah, I took all the money I had to buy the marijuana. So.
And it was there. You were just like, you know,
why not?
You know,
I didn't even dawn on me.
Because you didn't know God.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'd been told about God, but, you know, during that time of my life, like I said, it was, he was the farthest thing. You know, from my mind.
Sure.
You know, that he was even real, especially through the things that I had gone through in my life.
Yeah.
So that was something that was just, you know, there was no conviction whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. You just didn't know him. So, so to encourage myself, you know, he dedicated that Bible to the museum. And so I have it sitting on a shelf in my office, on top of that brick that LaDonna Spivey blessed me with that year we were having that event for the Father and Sons and all, or that was the Next Step Outback. And I have it sitting on top of there, just kind of opened up. And so when things get rough and everything's crashing in, everything's falling apart, you know, typical shipwrecks like Paul, you kind of look down at your feet, and then I gradually go up my bookcase and I'm looking at stuff and things, and I work my way right to the brick. This is a very nice thing. But then I look at his Bible and I think, I'm not that bad. But I do want, you know, Chris to take a moment, okay, take a moment about, you know, I mean, he doesn't smoke his Bible anymore. Now he, you know, lives his life for God. He's found God. I mean, how is your life different, you know, since then? I mean, who is God to you?
Well, I mean, my life is like a total 180. You know, like I said, you know, I stopped smoking my Bible.
thank goodness.
Well, that's good.
That's actually fruit. When we say that's like, that's a good sign, right?
That's a good sign. That's
I only smoke half my Bible now. I used to smoke all of my Bible, but, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, God has just totally changed my life now, and, you know, he's got me in a place now to where, you know, I'm serving him, and, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just such an honor to be here and just being able to fulfill the what God has called me to do. You know, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, there was a day that, you know, I didn't think I could do anything for God.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I had any talents whatsoever, you know. And I was recently able to share this, you know, that I was where I didn't at one point in time, I didn't think I had any talents. And in fact, I remember I had talked to Pat about it, and it was just, you know, because I was willing to do something, God just began to open these doors for me in my life and just started pouring things into me.
Now he's lost for words. It's not because he smoked his Bible. Yeah. This might be coming over like, oh,
right. You know,
no, he's just so lost. You know, the thing is that he really, you know, looked at everybody and he said, you know, Pat just walks on water and he has so many talents. Stop. You know, even he's never smoked his Bible. I mean, there's so many things that he's done, you know, well, and,
great football player, perfect hair.
He was a pine warmer. He was a pine warmer.
Okay, I was trying to help him out.
Oh no, he wasn't a pine warmer. But you know, really, you looked, Chris. You looked around and you said, and then quite often people do. I remember walking into a gathering as a new believer, and I was intimidated by everybody that was there.
Mm-hmm. Hello,
with the past environments. That I believe that it shouldn't be that way. And that's why we kind of walk in the expression we do that if you're family, you should feel like family day one. And, you know, it's the obligation of the ones who just saw somebody born to cause that babe in the Lord to feel welcome. It shouldn't be the babe in the, imagine a natural baby, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, own up to your side of it. It's like, just change me and feed me right now, you know, make me feel good, you know, goo goo and gaga me type stuff. Right. And, you know, people get born again in the Lord and people don't even understand. They are brand spanking new.
Yeah.
In God, you know, and with that, you're looking around and you don't understand that God saves broken people and they just don't realize all the issues that we do have and that, you know, we're not saved because we're perfect. We're saved. Christian, the very fact that we're a Christian says that we needed a Savior.
That's right.
We needed a forgiveness. But, you know, that's not what you know because you're like, you're really fresh out your stuff. I mean, he's still got, I would say rolling papers, but he still has the Bible in his back pocket.
Right.
And it's not because he's going to read it.
right.
And that's how we shouldn't feel when we come into the presence of the Lord. But, you know, when you walk into this big, huge place that nobody knows everybody and people don't know whether you're Al-Qaeda or you're a disciple or you're a deacon. I mean, they don't know. They really don't know. Right. And we have a video on the torch watching people that are sitting in this, believers, Christians, sitting in the midst of a large gathering, and all of a sudden they didn't realize the people right beside them were protesters coming against Israel, and they started jumping up, and they thought, oh, we got that one out. And then another one jumped up, oh, my goodness, we got that one out. And next thing you know, there was like they're all over the place. And of course, why would not somebody be intimidated and fearful as a new believer whose mind is not yet renewed yet, and they haven't begun to, they made Jesus the Lord of their life, but they haven't, you know, and it's quite often, I really believe a lot of people are lost there, you know, only born to die is what we talk about, that you're born again in the kingdom of God, but we did not fight for the seed to bear, to get roots and to produce and to defend them from Satan, who wants to steal the word from them, who wants to put pressures on their life, the cares and the deceitfulness of, you know, perspective of finance and money and the thorns, the whole parable of the seed that Jesus talks about. And strategy for a productive life. Let's start talking more about strategy for a productive life and make it available on BFN TV, because you got to have a strategy. And in a stranger place, you know, you're not going to have anybody that sits down with you, but you need to be in a gathering of people who actually celebrates the very fact that yesterday you were smoking your Bible, but today you're reading it. That's somebody should be very excited about that.
It's huge.
I remember, you know what you're talking about. When I first came in, you know, it was one of my first meetings coming into a group of men, you know, who are gathering together to worship God. You know, the first person I met was John.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he walked up to me. And
Sanguine John.
Walked up to me.
No, wait a minute. We got to build this out, right? You have to understand that he was a person that had kind of a fear of crowds. You know,
who's
just
that?
Not you. We're talking about Chris. We know that's not. So, the fear of crowds and, that phobia type. I forget what it's called. Where you feel the center of attention when you're in a crowd or something, and you just don't touch people and you don't talk long to them and you definitely don't look them in the eye. Right. And he just got saved, and so he's going to just show up. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. Just show up, because you don't already know much yet. They said show up, so I'm just going to show up.
Right.
And so come on, I'm going to set that up.
Right.
You know, and your bling is hanging, you're glowing.
Right, right.
All this kind of stuff, okay.
My hair is flowing in the wind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I walked through the door, and I wasn't in the room 2 seconds before this. You know, I see this little guy just comes up to me and John walks up to me and just gives me this huge, huge hug. Just
what we have to understand now.
Just welcomes me.
You know, Chris is like 6 foot three.
6'1".
Really?
Yeah.
And John's like
not
6'1". So you can imagine this guy hugging his knee. Like, you know, and he's never been touched. Like, not only is like, is this really a hug? He's on my knee here. No, he was taller than that. But that's like a, you know, it's like.
It was strange.
Right.
I was like, what is this man doing touching me?
What's his problem?
We have never touched in our family. We have never done this. Exactly. What is going on?
We did.
Not that kind of touch, anyway.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that was very strange, you know. And so like you're saying, you know, new believers coming in, making them feel welcome, you know, loving on them, you know, and that's what John did. But of course, that was strange to me at the time.
Right.
But now it was through that, you know, continual, and that was a continual thing. Every time I saw him, he was like, you know, he was just right on me and just hugging me, and it took a long time to get
over
that.
Yeah.
It did.
It is the love of God just instantly revealed.
Yeah.
Things in your life when didn't you cut your chin on his belt? Right. He also had that big old bling Cadillac belt buckle thing.
Either that or the big swoosh Nike thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, he did have a big
swinging like a pendulum side to side as he walked in and hugged me.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, you
poked him in the eye.
When after you got done hugging him, you had like Cadillac across your head or the swoosh.
It was a swoosh embedded in my forehead.
Yeah. All for Jesus, brother.
That's right.
I'm a love on this guy no matter what, Nike swoosh imprint and all.
It was amazing, you know, how thin that thing was. You know, I was thinking like this, like some weight to it, and you turned it sideways, you almost lost it.
You want to see through it.
It was a facade, and some people would call it a facade.
But it looked good.
I think it was bronze.
Yeah, and so, you know, think about it. So loving, you know, just experiencing the love. And just seeing men go after God's cool. Because, you know, very seldom do you see a group of men. We've done that over the years. And it's just something special about authentic, you know, real, you know, gatherings of men that are, you know, loving God. And, yeah, it's pretty powerful, pretty powerful. And so, yeah, so we're so glad to have you. So I just want everybody to know that he does know Jesus now.
I love him.
He loves him, and he's a great father and husband. And
he hugs now, too. Isn't it amazing?
He's like soft and cushy. If you want compassion, if you want that compassion, that it transferred me in.
That gooey stuff.
That gooey stuff. You would go to Chris.
You go to Chris.
If you need something, if you need a technical thing done, you go. Don't get them too confused.
Right.
No, that's not. There's moments. No, but it's just so cool. Glad to have you on the program. And you'll see a lot of things taking place in VFN TV and the VFN radio program in regard to what we're doing. And more things are going to become available now as Chris is a part of the more. He's always been a part of the team, but he's a more intricate part of the team now. And we're excited about that. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.